GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
I'm going to get in trouble, George, because I think I'm 30 seconds late to pick up the phone for Ken and Matt, our broadcasting colleagues on WGAN in Portland.
We have now with us our friends from WVOM joining us, Rick Tyler, George Hale. How are you guys this morning?
Hey, sorry we're late. It's my fault, not George's. It's never George's fault. You know that.
No, it is never my fault.
Never.
By the
ever.
Way, why'd you guys wish Danny a happy 40th birthday?
Oh, my word. He looks so young and vibrant.
As opposed to the 40 years of age.
We're talking about our Danny. Have you seen Danny?
No. He's apparently using one of those filters on all of his Facebook posts.
It's true. It's pictures of him with it. So how are you guys doing up there?
Good. What did you make of the governor's state of the state? Did you stay awake?
I listened to part of it. I thought it was excellent.
At what point did you fall asleep, Ken?
Well, I will say
it's less exciting than recent.
I do get up very early in the morning, but you know, we did have John Baldacci for 8 years. I'm not going to suggest now. Paula Bates is a little more stimulating.
Indeed.
I'll give you that.
Now, when we had Governor Mills on our program last week, I did make the suggestion that she submitted in writing, as had happened in previous years.
But what did you guys think of the content of her speech?
Well, hang on. First, we're jealous that you had the governor on last week because she couldn't preview it with us, and she was supposed to be on today, but then she canceled. They said maybe next week. But
I'm sorry.
Did you guys ever get your show mentioned in a State of the State address?
That's true.
Your show was mentioned?
Yeah,
we paid off.
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Was it 2-3 years ago during Governor LePage's State of the State? He previewed it with us, and we told him for 3 years in a row. If you somehow mention the George Hale Rick Tyler show in the State of the State, George and I will both pony up. What did we do? $100 each, George?
I can't remember. We paid money.
And we did $100 each to the charity of his choice.
Wow.
And he, in his State of the State, he mentioned us. He said, I'm not going to leave money on the table. And he said, you both got to give money to the Travis Mills Foundation. And we did.
Nice.
There you go. Congratulations.
Nice. Next time you have Janet Mills on, try that. See if that works for you.
Yeah. And not to be critical of the governor, because I really like her quite a bit, but it is difficult to get through her circle of protection to get her on a show. Really took
moving heaven and earth.
I had to contact my friend John Baldacci to do backdoor maneuvers to get her to come on, but she came on.
Well, I think it's probably her background as the attorney general, maybe that does that. Yes. I listened to the speech, watched the speech. I've gone through so many of these. You know, State of the State speech is about the same. About a week from now, nobody's going to remember it. She's not a great orator. But it was.
You don't think she's a great orator?
No,
I think she's an average orator.
But I think she's homespun, down to earth.
Yeah.
I like that part, and she's a little funny. People who know her and I do know her. She is quite funny in person. But there's, you know, it's not going to be a speech that we say 20 years from now. This is a great speech.
You heard that speech, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. That was a riveting, great speech. Greatest speech I've ever heard a governor
do. I hate to be the cynic on the panel here, but I've long since lost interest in all of these. I mean, I certainly read the speech, and I saw clips of it. I didn't watch it live, but so much of this stuff is just fluff that I can't get excited about it. I mean, she made a few announcements in there that I already knew she was going to pursue for policy proposals. I mean, these things are not surprises anymore. It's just, I find it a bit of a letdown.
She didn't mention Becky's Diner, though. Becky Lamb. I mean,
she probably gets a discount there. Let's do the flip the reporter's notebook then, okay? Flip the reporter notebook. You cover a story. You got so many notes. Flip the reporter's notebook over and just tell your news director what happened, and that's the lead. So if you told me, flip the reporter's notebook, what did Janet Mills say? We're Maine, not Washington.
Yeah, that's the one line that came out of that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So, Ken, flip the notebook. What did she say?
She said, we're Maine, not Washington. We are collaborative. We don't have the conflict that you see in Washington. And you give $20 million in the rainy day fund.
Oh, when you have a super majority in the legislature, that kind of thing.
You're digging too far beyond. You flip the notebook back over. You're looking at your notes now.
Oh, sorry.
What's the one thing? George, flip the notebook. What's the one thing she said that stood out to you?
I like the fact that she paid tribute to the people of Maine. She spoke of the history. She's been around a long time. She's got a great deal of experience, and she talked about her vision to help the state. And I think honestly, she wants to, whether you like her or dislike her. So, I thought that it was a good down to earth speech.
Got a lot of failure of quick notes here, don't we?
Yeah, I know. Matt, flip the notebook. What did she say?
To me, it's not a specific quote. It's just a philosophy. Government is good. I mean, everything that was contained in it was government is going to do things for you, and we're going to set things up that help you through government.
Okay.
Well, that that's the Republican view of
Everything she said was somehow related to a program or something she was going to be doing from the government to make your life easier, and most of them
are
not.
We are government. We do vote them into office.
We said this yesterday. We asked this of a couple of guests with their reaction. Do you see the, hey, we're going to put $20 million back in the rainy day fund as an olive branch to Republicans for all the spending?
Yeah, it's the biggest layup of a olive branch she can do. I mean, who's going to say no to putting money in the rainy day fund?
No new taxes, money in the rainy day fund. Most of what she wants to do is good for the state of Maine, expanding broadband, and, you know, come on, give her. You like Janet Mills, and you know
I
do. You do.
I do. I like Janet Mills. I don't like Janet Mills' agenda. There's a really big difference between those two things. A very big difference.
Well, I think you got to talk about health. I don't know about you guys. People talk to me about health care all the time. Maybe it's because... Yep. You know, people my age probably are thinking about health care, but I think that's a number one national issue also. But she talked about passing the Made for Maine Health Care Coverage Act. Whether this works or not, I don't know. But certainly, she also talked about the problem with the child welfare system. So I think she had good parts in there. Now, again, this is state of the state. What's going to happen a week from now? We're going to have to go back and open your reporter's notebook to find out what you said.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we're talking to Joe Tray and Rick Tyler, our brothers in arms from VOM up there, up north in the northern part of Maine.
Yeah, way up here. I'm trying to see what we've been.
I don't know if you noticed. I know you don't really talk about natural.
Impeachment. Okay, well, how much attention have you paid to the Meghan Buckingham Palace issue?
Rick, please.
No, trust me. Give me a second. Wait.
I've never considered hanging up on you before, but
Here's the analogy. Answer the question. How much attention have you paid on your show to the whole Buckingham Palace Meghan thing?
We have.
I mean, we've mentioned it, but
okay, all right.
Against my better judgment.
Okay, right? Okay. Tell me, what's the difference between what you know is kabuki theater between Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C. versus the kabuki theater you're seeing from England?
Nothing.
Exactly.
There's nothing. It's
so why are you paying attention?
Theater.
Why are you paying that much attention to the theater?
I'm trying desperately not to, but we do have to talk about it. I mean,
well, because they're splitting from the royal family.
I mean, I basically make that point. I basically make that point every single day, Rick. That if you're listening to me right now and you don't usually get to because I'm now on Rick's show instead of this one.
No, it's George's show. Get it right, dumbass.
I'm sorry, George. You're totally right about that. Anyway, if you don't hear me say this usually, I'm going to say it once again. Everything that you see is preordained. There's nothing surprising, nothing interesting about this at all. So you people that are glued to the TV watching this,
Wait a minute. Were you surprised when Fredo betrayed his brother in The Godfather? This is the same thing. Harry and Meghan are a rift in the family. You know they're going
to
be taken out just like the mother was.
All I know is that when Fredo went fishing, he didn't come back.
Exactly. That's going to happen. It happened to Diane. Let's not forget Harry's mother, you know.
But, Rick, I will say, to be more serious for a moment, if Ken will allow me, and it's pretty tough sometimes over here, while that's all preordained and whatnot, it does have political implications, does it not, for the reelection campaigns of a couple people who are in Maine right now?
Yes.
Golden and
yes, it does.
Rollins.
Yes.
So I think from that angle, it's worth talking about and sort of the analysis around that. I think
do you guys think that this kills Jared Golden's election?
Who knows? I don't know. I'm not an expert at that. I know one thing. Susan Collins is getting credit today for sending a note up to the Chief Justice, and he eventually criticized both the House side and the defenders that they ought to tone it down a little bit. And there are reports that it was Susan Collins who led the charge on that through the Chief Justice, and I feel sorry for him because he's sitting there reading stuff that people are handing him.
Okay, George.
I'm not sure a juror should be passing a message to the judge, by the way.
No, hang on a second.
That happened.
No, let's ask a question here and tie this into another event of the week. George, how many points does that score Susan Collins in the ears, eyes, and hearts of Maine voters? Number 1 through 100. Give me a number.
0.
Two. She gets 2 points. Out of 100 for doing
because
that.
Because I don't think they're paying attention.
Okay, okay. Ken, no, how many points? Ken, how many points does Susan Collins earn for that?
Zero.
Yeah. Okay, and Ken, Matt, how many points?
Zero.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing, because nobody is paying. I'm going to say this again because I've said it a million times.
Okay.
No one who's not in the bubble of political obsession is watching this and cares.
Okay.
No.
Whereas
out there, they don't.
Whereas she just proved herself to be one of the greatest power players. And George, you sent me the note, and you're absolutely right. She just proved herself to be one of the best power players and even tempered minded people in Washington, D.C. Now compare that. Planned Parenthood endorses Sarah Gideon. How many points does Sarah Gideon now get in the eyes, hearts, and minds of voters in Maine? Matt.
In terms of the people who would care about that endorsement, they were already flipped to her. So I don't. Yep. I actually will say zero.
Zero?
But I get where you're going with it.
And Ken, you say zero too?
Absolutely.
Okay. George, you say?
I don't know. I think probably she gained some.
How many points? 1 to 100?
No, maybe 25.
But if that's your issue.
25?
Hold on. Yeah. Because if that's your issue and you really care, you know, the pro-choice argument,
anyway.
You've already abandoned Susan because that was so important to you, the Kavanaugh vote would set you off, right?
Yeah,
so,
if someone feels that way. But we just raised the point about who's paying attention to what. Here, Susan Collins does something that probably no one else in Washington, D.C., nay, the nation, could probably do.
The nation.
Okay. And then Planned Parenthood says, you voted for Kavanaugh. Hey, everybody, love Sarah instead. And as George points out, and I think George is right, Sarah's going to get more traction out of the Planned Parenthood endorsement than Susan Collins is going to get from sending a note to the Supreme Court.
Only in fundraising dollars, I think. She's going to send out an email and some, you know, direct mail off this.
Yeah,
but
I think the people who
will... not going to convince
it. I think the traction she gained, she would have gained if it was already hers because of the Kavanaugh vote. I think these were already part of the choir. I really do. I don't see it being that much of a difference for her. And by the way, there is a primary in the Democratic Party. She's not actually, Betsy Sweet is running against her. It's kind of amazing that she's the foregone, I mean, she's going to get the nomination, but could we have a primary?
We're not even
us?
Pretending otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think those pundits on the national scene, just a personal opinion, don't care either way, not even over in the water here, but those that are saying that Susan Collins is in trouble in the next election are jumping in a little too quick. That's my view.
You know, George, I absolutely agree with you. I agree, and I'm the liberal on the panel here. And people say to me all the time, "She's going down." I say, "You guys, she's not going to win by 65%, but she's going to win 55%." I mean, I think that she avoided a primary challenge by the Kavanaugh vote. I think that was she was more vulnerable in the primary than she is the general election. I think people know her; they like her. Sarah Gideon's likable, but I think the people who were going to vote for her wouldn't have voted for Susan. I think Susan lose some votes from the Kavanaugh vote, but I don't think enough to call for the election.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
In our final minutes, a listener sends us a note. Mike in Milford, he works in Portland,
Mike.
Says, "Whatever you do, don't ask Ken and Matt about Star Wars."
I want to point out, this is Ken's fault.
I tried
desperately.
My kid sat me down last night because he wanted to watch 8 minutes of The Phantom Menace before bedtime.
Oh, God. No.
You got a problem with the prequels? Is that it?
Get Disney Plus and watch The Mandalorian. That's
quite good.
That's the story. And Matt's the expert on how to make a laser... saber.
A lightsaber?
A lightsaber. He knows what crystal you need to make one of those.
You don't even know what a lightsaber is, Ken?
I do. Well, I forget.
Oh, my word.
Hell, I've never even seen a Star Wars movie.
You've never seen any of them?
None.
Not one.
Not
How
one.
How is that possible?
How is that? How about Star
you
Trek?
Talk about the dark side.
One, right? No?
You like Star Trek, George?
No. I don't watch. I gave up when Buck Rogers ended.
Well, wasn't that the 1950s?
Yeah.
You're talking about the 1980s remake,
Lost
right?
Lost in Space.
Did you see the new Lost in Space? Did you see the new Lost in Space on Netflix?
I'm going to look at it, but I haven't looked at it yet.
I saw the whole one. It was well done, actually.
The whole one. You've watched season two already, Ken?
Oh, there's a season
two? There is a season two, yeah.
Season two is out. It's even better than season one. And you know what? Dr. Smith? Evil. Is anyone as evil as that woman?
What happened to the robot? Did they reassemble the? Was the robot killed in the first season?
I'm not going to tell you. But
okay, good. Thank you for that.
If you want to watch something that's really worth watching, and you have to go to the movies, watch 1917.
I don't watch war movies, George.
This is the greatest.
Never watch a war movie. I didn't see.
This is the best war movie ever.
Now, I didn't see. I don't watch war movies. I'm
Ken,
sorry.
Ken doesn't like the military very much, guys.
I didn't say that. I don't like war movies. That's what I said. But we do like Star Trek and Star Wars, and we do talk about it.
Ken, okay, this all began because somebody asked me trivia, and it's actually Star Trek is what started it, and I happen to be the world's foremost Star Trek trivia
expert.
Translation, nerd, okay.
Total nerd, yeah, absolutely. I totally copped to it, and I tried to then move on, and I wasn't allowed to because he kept asking me questions I knew the answer to, and then it morphed into Star Wars somehow, and I don't know.
The color of the lightsaber and how it reflects the personality.
You jokingly asked me how you make a lightsaber. And you
answered the question.
And I knew the answer, so I told you.
I just learned about the whole color of the lightsaber thing for my kids this week. Okay, look, if you're a Star Trek fan, live long and prosper. Okay. If you're a Star Wars fan, use the Force. And next time that we get together, we'll try to stick to the topics. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.